All right, my name is Bud Martin. I represent the Tri-State Independent Fundamental Backbiting, Baptist Preachers Fellowship. No, we have a great fellowship. In fact, if you're a part of the Tri-State, hold your hand up. Hold your hand up, okay? And good representation here this morning, and we sure appreciate that. In fact, we've got a couple of the original apostles of the Tri-State with us this morning, and we appreciate them being with us. We have a great time, great fellowship, and it is my honor and privilege, and I mean that from the depths of my heart. Someone asked us how we slept last night, and not good. And Brother Cofield said, you're staying awake trying to figure out something good to say about Brother Gross, right? But that's not needful. Almost 40 years ago, my wife and I went to a little church up in the country at that time called Bethel Memorial Baptist Church. And we had heard about a Tennessee Temple man that was up there preaching. And we went to visit, and I think maybe on the first Sunday one of our kids got sick as we was going out the door and threw up, so my wife had to stay home. I went with two other of our children. Miss Wanda, she thought that I was a divorcee that had custody of my kids on the weekend. But we got there and we joined the church, and a few years later we moved to the city, and when I say city, I'm talking about Lafayette, Georgia. But we moved our congregation out of the country down to the city. And at that time, Brother Gross, I started teaching Sunday school, started working in the bus ministry, started cleaning the toilets, kept the grounds. And then finally he just left and left me as pastor. Amen. That was a good thing. But he has been my pastor. He has been in our fellowship. He has been in our lives. He's been a dear friend. He loves people. And Brother Gross has always been, that solid rock and that foundation. And he's going to come. And again, it is my honor and my privilege to introduce my pastor, Brother Ernest Gross.
Praise the Lord.
All right, thank you so much. I told the gentleman that preached before me I had really pulled hard for him to fail. But he'll sure let me down. And he quoted all my scriptures, so obviously the Holy Spirit must know that you need them. So we will reiterate that, okay? And God bless you. The book of Jude. We won't start just right there, but we will get there at some point and talk to you just a bit. I love the Tri-State Baptist Fellowship, and I love the statewide fellowship. Boy, I've missed it. I'm like my president, Donald Trump, said, I respect the virus, but I'm not going to let it run my life. We had our camp meeting last year. It starts on Father's Day in June. Brother Ralph's been there. Brother Arthur's been there. And we had people from all over the states. And we didn't have a person sick then or afterwards. Amen. In our church, or as far as I know in the group, my wife and I went to the Southwide Fellowship in Winston-Salem. And then we went to 8 or 9 different states, including the swamp of Washington, D.C., to see the Museum of the Bible. And the Lord has just built a hedge around us. Amen. Now, I'm cautious. I wear a mask because I've been told I look better with one on. So it wasn't my wife that told me either. I wear that. We hand sanitize. I don't have any more skin left on my hands and washed all them off. We try to be cautious, but we go on with our life. We've had 2 parking lot services, which was really great. But we've not missed a service, and I'm afraid some people got used to watching it on Facebook and everything, and they liked it so well that I hadn't got them back yet. But they are beginning to drift back in. Our bus ministry has really caught back up, and we are praising God for that. We've baptized 6, 8, 10 people lately, and I am a grateful saint of God, and praise the Lord for that. All right, let me look to the scripture. I'm going to read, first of all, from the book of Romans, and some of it I will read, some of it I will just briefly comment on. Romans chapter 13. I'm sorry, I don't feel comfortable if I don't ask you to stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God. And I'll just read a few scriptures and let you be seated. Word of God says in Romans chapter 13 and verse 11, "And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of our sleep, now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of life, and let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting or drunkenness, nor chambering, nor wantonness, nor in strife, nor envy. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." Heavenly Father, I yield myself to you as the servant of God. Before the face of Ezekiel, the bones stood on their feet. They took on flesh and sinew. And they only did that because the breath of the Holy Ghost moved on them. And now I need thy breath as never before to be a help to these gentlemen. I pray that you would speak through these lips of clay. Be glorified in Christ's name, and may the people of God be edified. Amen and amen. Thank you. Be seated. I'm going to not give you an alliterated outline. Bob Doherty, my brother, is one of the best sermon outliners I've ever seen. Brother Bob deserted me and went to heaven. And just a tremendous man of God. I believe he taught in Brother Ralph's school. And everybody in the tri-state area knew Bob Doherty. And so I went to his son's house, and he said, Dad wanted Crown College to have his library. You got everything John Phillips did, C.L. Roach, all them. But he said, Dad would want you to have them first. And so I was a little bashful about it, and I picked out a few things, but he opened the drawers. He said, "Here's some outlines." I began to look, and I saw sermons that he preached, milk cow religion. A drink at Joel's place. And I said, can I get a few of them? He said, "You can have them all." I didn't want to be greedy, so I just took a few of them. And then about 2 or 3 weeks later, I called back and I said, "Brother Danny, I changed my mind. I'd like to have all them outlines." and I thought about, I could put those on the market, but he already had them on the market, 52 books on word search. And I took those, and but he was a real, real blessing to me. But no alliterated outline this time. I just want to talk to you about the days in which we live and try to encourage you. I'm an optimist. I was in the ring for 20 years, and the fact is you have to be an optimist to even survive. And so the Lord was mighty good to me. And I just say this to you, I'm an optimist because of my future. Amen. Whichever way the world goes, it's going to go, but I'm going to tell you what I know the way I'm going up. Amen? Amen. And so I just want to talk to you about this. Now, the book of Hebrews says this, that God, who in times past, he talks about divers manners, spoke to the fathers by the prophets. But he said, but in the last days, he has spoken unto us by his Son, of whom he made the worlds. And folks, as we think about anything at all, we must look and see what the Word of God says about it. Amen? Now, in America, we used to have the Constitution that was our guide for the Supreme Court and so forth. We've lost that. But still, to the Christian, our Constitution is the Word of God. Inerrant, infallible Word of God. Now, the fact is, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, 22 talks about the fact that tongues are a sign not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. Now, signs are for people, doubting people, discouraged people, signs, the things are, these signs. Now, if you get one sign, you got to have another one. You know, but we have the Word of God, the completed Word of God. Romans chapter 13 says, and that knowing the time, do you know the time? It is high time to awake out of our sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. And the fact is, folks, we have to live and sleep and eat by the Word of the living God. Now, the fact is, the Word of God tells us in John chapter 14, verse 1. Jesus had broken the heart of the apostles, the disciples. He said, I'm going away. They were filled with fear because they knew the hostility that had been turned toward him was now going to be directed at them. And then their heart was broken because they had eaten and slept and traveled with him and saw him do mighty miracles. And so John addressed that. Let not your heart be troubled. As you look around yourself, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Yes. Believe also in me, said Jesus. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I love this, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. A lady was driving down 85. She was in a hurry and behind, as we all are, as everybody is on 85. And an officer stopped her and said to her, ma'am, you were exceeding the speed limit. I'm going to have to give you a ticket. So we wrote the ticket and brought it up. And she said to the officer, do you not give any warnings? Do you not believe in warnings? And he said, oh, yes, ma'am. We've got warnings about every mile up and down this whole thing. Now that pertains to every lane except one, which I call the preacher's lane. In that lane, there is no limit. You say he's lawless, only when I'm in a hurry. Matthew, there was a harsh, hard knock on the door. Awful knock. The door shook. The man answered the door. When he pulled the door open, there stood the figure, robed with a hooded black cape down to the ankle, a big sickle in his hand. And the guy said, no, I'm not ready. I'm not ready. Well, he said, well, look, I didn't come for you right now. But he said, but I'm coming back. And the next time I come, I'm going to get you. And he said, but I will warn you before I come the next time. Time passed and the man got busy, as we all do. Tied himself up in all the affairs of the world. And one day, that familiar knock on the door. He opened it and there was that figure again. Robed with a hooded outfit down to the ankles with a sickle. And he said, I have come for you. The man said, no, I'm not ready. You told me you would give me a warning. And the figure said, I did. You see them crow's feet there by your eyes? Yeah. I was warning you that I'm coming. You see that silver hair? That was a warning from me that I was coming. Now Jesus said, you're not in darkness, that this day should overtake you as a thief. Now the Word of God says in Matthew, be therefore ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, for the trumpet shall sound. And the dead in Christ shall raise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we be with the Lord. In Philippians chapter 3, the Bible says, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, the Apostle Paul says this, We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account, that everyone may give an account of things done in the body, whether it be good or bad. And then he said in the next verse, ever since I've been saved, this has awakened me every morning, has gauged me all day. Therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Amen. Dr. Lehman Strauss, in a Bible conference at Highland Park, said, I don't know what that terror of the Lord is to the believer. I don't know what it is. We have eternal life. Our name is in heaven. We have the Holy Spirit that has sealed us. But he said, whatever that terror of the Lord is at the judgment seat, and most of us, I think you're like me, you don't dread death. No big deal. We're all going there. It's natural. But I'm going to tell you, the judgment seat is another chapter, another story. And I just say this to you, my friend. Strauss said, whatever that terror is, if it were possible, it's not possible, but if it were possible, you'd be better to go through half the tribulation period than you would be to face the terror of the Lord having failed him. That should make you and I live in fear and trembling. To follow the commands of God and do what he has told us to do. Now, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 13. To the end that he may establish you unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm talking about, he's warned us. He's warned us. Colossians chapter 3, verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, we shall appear with him in glory. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1. But of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For ye yourself know perfectly that the day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction shall come upon them as a woman with child. But ye, brethren, are you listening to me? Yeah. But ye are not in darkness, that day should overtake you. I love this verse right here, verse 9. For God, I don't know whether you pre-meal, post-meal, or a-meal, but listen to this, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. This know, 1 Timothy chapter 3, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Wonder when they're going to come. Wonder when they'll be here. For men shall be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. The fact is, the Word of God tells us there shall be truce breakers and false accusers and incontinent and fierce and despise those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Now, you folks from Tri-State, I refuse to preach to a bunch of dead Baptists. I go out and knock on doors and I say, they say, well, we go to a such and such church. And I say, well, I don't pastor a dead church. You come. And if you don't feel loved and appreciated and helped, I'll give you money back. Well, then I say, I had a deacon's meeting. They said I couldn't. I love this right here. I love this. When I got saved, oh, what a hunger developed in my soul for the Word of God. And I enlisted in Moody Bible Institute and finished courses through Moody. Then the next one, then the next one, then the next one. And finally at Tennessee Temple, graduated there. I packed 4 years into five. Left there, went to Middle Tennessee State University and got my doctorate in clinical psychology. And then God called me to preach and messed up the whole outfit. But love this verse right here. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. Now, don't you miss this. Teaching us, the Holy Ghost is our teacher. Teaching us that denying ungodliness. Oh, he says that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Amen. The Holy Ghost teaches us that. Amen. Now, don't you miss this. What else does He teach us? Looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing. If I had time, they gave me 30 minutes. I'd shout. Looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, I say this to you, my friend. Hallelujah! We have the promise from God, a warning from Him. Listen to what 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4 says. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. He's coming! I know what you're saying. I've heard that all my life. We preachers have preached that all of our life, haven't we? You know what Peter said in the last days? Notice that scoffers shall arise. And they'll be saying, where is the sign of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were. Ho hum, let's party.
Yeah, you're right.
Well, let me say, first of all, the scientists say that stone is 10 million years old. How do you know that? Radiocarbon 13 dating. But wait just a minute. That supposes that the atomic bombardment of the earth has been constant forever. But the atomic bombardment of the earth hasn't been. Because after the flood, the bubble was taken away, the shield, the strainer. And the atomic bombardment of this earth totally changed. They can't date anything by that. If they dated me, I'd be 100,000 years old. But I just say this to you, my friend, things don't continue as they were. Oh, listen, my friend, James chapter 5, verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. And I tell you what, you and I, we need to occupy, but be patient while we're waiting on Him. Finally, Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. After this, I look, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and a voice which I heard, as it were, the trumpet talking to a man, which said, come up hither. Hallelujah! Come up hither. Well, I just say this to you, friend, that when that voice says that, we're gone. And you won't find Ecclesia again until you get about 18, 19 Revelation. Chapter 1 is about the glorified Christ. You had never seen Him like that. Chapter 2 and 3, letters to seven churches. Chapter 4, opening scene in heaven. Chapter 5, the seven seal book. Chapter 6, the four horsemen of the apocalypse. Chapter 7, sealing of the 144,000. Chapter 8, here it is. Are you ready? The trumpet judgments began. Yeah. When that happens, hell breaks out on earth. Literally. Chapter 9 is about the opening of the bottomless pit. And it belches out creatures that you would never believe. But let me say this to you, my friend. If you go to Matthew chapter 12, Jesus, the Bible says that He cast out demons out of a dumb and blind man. And the Pharisees said to Him, He casteth out devils by Beelzebub. Now Beelzebub was the prince of devils. And he was a god of manure. A cow patty that a grub worm grew up in, and it was called Beelzebub. And they said to Jesus, you're a god of manure. You're manure is what you are. And Jesus said, give credit to the devil for what the Holy Ghost done. It won't be forgiven you. We need to be careful about that, don't we? And then chapter 13 comes along. The Bible says that He came to the seashore. And they said, your mother and your brethren want to see you out there. Just before this. He said, who is my mother and who is my brother? He pointed to the disciples and He said, behold, my mother, my brother, and my sister. I'm so glad that I'm part of the family of God. Amen. And the fact is, folks, He got in a boat, went out offshore just a little bit, symbolically of breaking that total ministry right there. And then He began to speak to them in parables. He used seven parables. Don't miss this. I'm tying it together with something in Revelation. And he says, a sower went forth to sow. See, he started that first parable with a sower of the seed of the gospel. And he closes those seven parables, last couple, with the harvest. Now, if you take, Dr. Compton said, you take those seven parables and overlay those seven churches in Revelation, they will mesh together like fine gears in a well-oiled machine. They characterize each other in a marvelous way. And I just want to say this to you, friend. If we want to know what's taking place, if we want to listen to that warning, God's given it to us. Now, before you step into this main sanctuary, you come through those doors into the foyer, the vestibule, the mezzanine. Now, Revelation has a vestibule, and it's called Jude. Jude, before you step into that hell on earth, Jude says, here is what, my wife's supposed to give me 5 minutes to go, okay? So if I just suddenly punch out, you'll know what she said. I'm out of time. So Jude is the vestibule to Revelation. And let me say this to you. It is something that this book is called Jude. Now Jude is synonymous, the same word as Judas. You know, Jude is the only book in the Bible that is wholly and solely given to apostasy. I don't know about you, but I'm surrounded by apostates. I'm not talking about in my church, even though there's been a few of them too. But I'm talking about, folks, we live in a world of apostasy. A man from Florida, a congressman, got up and he said, I'll tell you what's wrong with this country and this house. We have left God out of the control and commands of this nation. And Jerry Nadler, don't you love him? He ought to be married to Nancy Pelosi. Jerry Nadler stood up and he said, let me tell you, brethren, men, there is no place for the commands of God and the will of God in this people's house. That's what he said. Apostasy. The world, our nation, has apostatized. Now, again, right quickly, the Word of God gives us the main characters of Jude. I'm going to take 5 extra minutes and you can fire me. There is Israel and angels and Satan and Moses and Cain and Balaam and Korah and Enoch, and not the least, the Trinity is in this book. Now, look how he starts this. I'm going to give you this, the two relationships that he gives, and then let you go. He gives two relationships that he has there in the book of Jude. Look what he says. He says, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James. Now, wait just a minute. If that had been you and I, I'd been saying, you know, I've sat under B.R. Lakin, R.G. Lee, Dr. Hiles, Dr. Robertson, Dr. Falwell, and Joe Arthur, and Brother Ralph. And I've sat under great preachers and praised God for it. But that wasn't what, he wasn't name dropping. He said, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, doulos, I'm a bond slave. What was he doing? Giving his heavenly relationship first. Secondly, he gives his earthly relationship and brother of James. Now, who in the world is James? Well, James was the senior pastor to the church of Jerusalem, author of the book of James. James is a little bit Pharisaic. Matter of fact, James was one of the 4 half-brothers of the Lord Jesus Christ, and Jude was one also. And he could have said, hey, do you know who I am? I grew up in the home with God. I hope you're growing up in the home with God. But he said, I grew up in the home with Jesus Christ. He could have. But he placed that secondary. And folks, he had his priorities right. Amen.
Yes, he did.
And that's certainly what we need to work on. Now, neither James nor Jude, John Phillips said, were named as apostles. And that James only accepted Jesus after the resurrection. He was pretty stiff in the church of Jerusalem. Matter of fact, he was a little bit Pharisaic. He gave Paul and those guys a fit for a little bit of a while. So here it is. And I love this right here. Mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. You heard the song? When justice called, mercy answered. Amen. Now, he is saying, the time you're living in, you need a multiplicity of mercy, peace, and love. When it comes to our actions and deeds, if law is over the door, we're condemned. But if you put mercy with it, it is eradicated. And love is the string that binds them all together. Now, Jude said, I was going to talk to you about common salvation, common to all men. Aren't you glad the Bible says, whosoever will, let him come. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come, and he that is thirst come, then whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. Aren't you glad? Don't you love John 3:16? For God so loved the world. Spurgeon said that word so in John 3:16 is the most dynamic word in all the Word of God. For God so loved mankind, the world, that he gave his only begotten Son. Listen, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Paul said, it's God's will that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. Peter said, it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Oh, listen, my friend. I'm glad to be part of the family of God. I, as you, we are surrounded by apostates. Ministerial association will come, as they did. The house where Brother Martin lives right now. And they said, we want to have some community services. We want to bring our churches to your church on Sunday night once every month. We want to bring our singers to your church. And then you can bring your church and singers to our church. I said, well, no, I don't think I can do that. I want everybody to like me. I don't just go out to hunt somebody to hate me. But you can't preach like that. Somebody says, I don't know why they leave you on Facebook. Silicon Valley should have zapped you a long time ago. But I just say this to you, my friend. I said, Phil, I can't do it. They said, tell us why. That was not a good question for them to ask. I said, not why. They said, no, tell us why you can't work with us. I went to the next room, and I got the biggest Bible that I had. It was a big one. I went to the table where the brethren or something was sitting, and I gave that Bible a pitch. And it bounced twice on the table, and they all flinched and jumped. And the Ministerial Association said, what? Yeah. Why can't you work with us? And I said, because of that. And they said, we have Bibles. We believe the Bible. Before I came up here, the Gestapo here stopped me there, and he said, I want to see your Bible. I do that at the church, so that's acceptable.
You did it to me.
And you to me. But I said, you have women preachers in your association, and there's no woman preacher going to come preach at my pulpit. That's a man's pulpit. Amen. And your singers are not going to sing to my people. They're too contemporary. That's why I can't work with you. I'll fix you. Tire if you have a flat. I'll clothe you if you're naked. Sure. I'll feed you if you're hungry. But when you go to the pulpit, I hope you catch the hiccups.
Well, don't you love that?